Good afternoon. Just a little bit more. I just completed my dissertation, so I'm very new at all this, and completed at the University of Cincinnati. So one of the things that allowed me to develop my pedagogy was this sense of support from my faculty and really just being able to sort of explore different creative ways of teaching. And so that's how I kind of came up with this process that I'll talk about. But the first I wanted to kind of, I found a couple quotes that I found were really important as I talk about photographs. But the camera is an instrument that teaches people how to see without a camera. And a picture tells its own story, shaped by the insights of the person who sees it. It becomes layered with the past and the present. So the first question is, what do you see? What's really happening in this photograph? How does this relate to your own life? Or what does it make you feel? How does it make you feel? If there's a problem, why does this problem exist? Why do we face this problem at a community or a society level? And what can we do about it? So this is what I've termed photo translation. It's a teaching pedagogy that I've used and been able to incorporate in both undergraduate and graduate classes at the university. There are no relationships to disclose with this presentation. So the first question is, what is photo translation? What I termed, and this is just me from my standpoint, it's using higher level critical thinking to translate concepts into photographs to create meaning, to facilitate discussion, and enhance learning. And again, this was just basically formed from my work at the university during my doctoral program and teaching through, I think I taught 8 different classes, which is really unusual that they gave me that many classes, different classes to be able to teach, so, and both graduate and undergraduate. So the conceptual framework, where does this come from and what sort of goes into this process? Well, the biggest, you know, the one of the first pieces is constructivist theory within education. It's the theory of how knowledge is constructed. And, you know, essentially we generate knowledge and meaning from interactions between our experiences and our ideas. So it's the whole concept of you haven't come here today for me to fill you up with knowledge. You're not empty vessels, never having, even though you've never heard maybe of this before or never seen it, you have experiences that you bring to this process and that together we generate knowledge. I don't hold the knowledge, but we together as teacher and students facilitate knowledge and learning. The second is Bloom's taxonomy. So it's this higher level classification of these behaviors important to learning so that as you go from lower level to higher level, it becomes more abstract and more applied from just knowledge and understanding all the way to top to evaluating, analysis, creating. And then the third piece is photo voice, which is a methodology typically used in CBPR or participatory action research. And the purpose of photo voice is to empower community members, groups who traditionally are marginalized or traditionally don't have a voice. And so they use photographs in helping to A, empower themselves and also create change within their community through the photos being taken from an individual level to more of a community level and then on to policy level. So people that have power to create change then would view photographs. So these three things have informed this concept of photo translation as a teaching strategy. Again, learning is an active process. It's not passive. So it's engaging the students in a process. It's a social activity. So interaction with others is very critical in terms of applying knowledge, learning from each other, from other people's experiences. And again, we learn in relationship to what we know. I may not know you know, something, details about a particular topic, but I might have experiences that relate. For example, I don't know specific details about diabetes, but maybe I have a family member that has diabetes, and so I see from my experiences with that family member, so I have knowledge related to that topic. Learning involves time to assimilate the information, reflect on what you've thought. So it's not just a one snapshot and then I've got it. It requires multiple passes over the information to create context, to build that deeper level of understanding. Why is this important? Well, the way we view knowledge generation, the way we view, you know, how students learn, affects our pedagogy. It affects how we teach, it affects our teaching philosophy, and it affects our interaction with students. So it's very important in our relationship with students and the whole building of those relationships. So how can this strategy be used? I've used it in three different ways. But typically, it can be used at the beginning of a course to really just explore a topic. And really with no background, with no framework, you just put it up there. It can introduce a particular topic. It can be at the end of the course to summarize, sort of bringing everything together. It can also summarize one particular topic, and I'll give you specific examples. It can be used in graduate and both undergraduate, graduate classes. It can be used in online classes, used in groups. And this is typically the way I like to use it, is in a group, because it has these multiple level processes that are going on. There's individual reflection with using the photographs that typically the students select, but you can also, as the teacher, select the photos as well. But there's individual reflection, then they bring their individual reflections to the group, and they have small group discussion about photographs, and then you bring it to the larger class group. So for example, I would reflect on photos myself, then I would have a group of four people that we would all discuss all of our photos, and then we'd open it up to the whole group and discuss the photos in terms of the relationship, the meaning, and the relevance. And the final use, you can use it on, say, a Blackboard, a discussion board, and post the photo sort of as, okay, this is going to be an introduction to this topic, and have students provide reflections, and then, you know, look at other student reflections. So that's a way of, if you do this online, it's a very viable way of doing. And again, creating community, even though it's an online process. So this is one example that I used with, I used it within a team-based learning class. I taught a fitness and health class. And it was at the end of the quarter to assimilate the concepts of fitness and health. And so it was this fitness and health class. And so the question I posed was, what does fitness mean and why is it important for health? And so the only guideline I gave them really was, okay, we know there's five components of fitness. I don't need you to get me a picture of somebody lifting weights. I know that. But I sort of encouraged them to go deeper and look beyond, look at relationships, look a little deeper in terms. Then they individually took and they selected 3 to 5 photographs and they wrote a paragraph about each photograph and why they chose it. They used the questions, and these are considered showed questions. In Photo Voice, they're called showed questions, and that's the acronym for the beginning, like what do you see, how does it relate to your life? So answering what do you see, how does it relate to your own life, how does it make you feel? And then in this example, I use what questions does it raise for you? Then they brought these pictures to their small group and shared this within the group, going through that same process. They, as a group, then selected 2 photos that were most representative or most they resonated with them, and then they brought those to the larger group. So for the graduate class, I used this process because my graduate students had to present a full lecture, and it was based on a topic. So I'm going to use the way far out, the most difficult lecture that I teach in nutrition class, nutrigenomics. Okay, so I had students that were presenting on this topic who'd never even heard the word before. And so what they had to do was go through the process themselves, do their literature review, what is it, what am I going to present to my peers, and then find photographs that related, that they could help increase their understanding of the topic, but then teach that to other students as an introduction to the topic. So the first thing in their presentation was this photo translation piece. So they put photographs up and went through the process of what do you see, what's happening, how does it relate to your own life, getting their experiences, why does the problem exist, why do we face this problem again at a higher level, and then what can we do as health educators? So we kind of brought that to the piece of how do we, you know, do work as a group towards this issue. And so I used that with all the different topics. And the students really, at first, they kind of had the deer in headlights look like, what are you asking me to do? Because it was so different than what they'd ever done before or what anyone had asked them to do. But once they got into it, they actually enjoyed the process and they could let loose and be a little creative with selecting photographs and really reflecting on meaning for themselves. And again, the third process was this individual post on discussion board where you're reflecting, and then you could assign points where students have to respond to other student reflections and create dialogue. And so depending on the size of your class, you may do more or fewer reflections. So we're going to practice. So what do you see in this photograph? And this is like a group thing, so I'm not just asking. This is participation. So what do you see in this photograph? Okay, woman collecting water. So it's a very literal translation of what you're seeing. Okay, so how does this relate to your life? How does this make you feel? What are you seeing here on it? What does this photo really mean? Okay.
I wonder what they're going to use the water for.
Okay, so that thought stemming into public health.
I'm hoping they're going to boil the
water. Okay, okay.
Could you repeat what people were saying?
Okay, so she said, I hope they're going to boil the water. He said, I'm glad that I can turn on a tap and get the water out of the tap.
I'd like to know why they're collecting the water.
Why they're collecting the water. So why does this, you know, does this present a problem? What problem do you see potentially in this scenario?
They're standing in the water.
They're standing in the water.
The baby could fall in.
What?
The baby on the back could fall in.
So from a public health standpoint, what problems do you see potentially?
Access to clean water.
Right, so why does this problem exist? So if we think of, you know, some of the areas, Haiti, things like, you know, places like that, why does the problem exist? No. Okay, so really in asking that question, it allows you to explore, if I gave you the context, that it only limits you to what that context is without allowing you to think of what other reasons could be going on here. So then the final question is, what can we do about this? And so that's where you start to look at how do we in public health move forward to addressing some of the issues that the students potentially brought up. So it allows them to explore. Time to stop. Thank you very much, and I'll look forward to questions at the end.